So I'd like to talk today about living in balance, and probably most of us feel a lot of the time that our life isn't quite in balance, and certainly the state of the balance, the planet seems very much out of balance. And in Buddhism we follow what's called the middle path, so finding that balance between the extremes. So you're probably all familiar with the story of the Buddha, that he grew up in luxury and very protected by his father, who didn't really want him to know about the suffering in the world. And then he began to realize, you know, that there was suffering, aging, sickness and death. And so he took up the path of asceticism, which was quite common in those days, and starved himself and did very intensive meditation practices for years, to the point where he almost died. And then one day he realized that wasn't working either. He wasn't really getting where he wanted to be. So he took so the story is he accepted a bowl of milk from a young girl and sat under the Bodhi tree and decided to meditate. And so he always taught the middle path, so not following one extreme or the other extreme, the sense of balance. And he said, there is a middle way between the extremes of indulgence and self-denial, free from sorrow and suffering. This is the way to peace and liberation in this very life. So another way to think about balance is to think about the concept of yin and yang. So you're probably familiar with that from China and Taoism. So yang is sometimes described as the male energy and is very active and engaged, strong energy. And then yin is sometimes described as female, which is sort of dark and receptive and more yielding. So we don't have to get too caught up between, you know, the male and female part, but one is very out there in the world and active, and one is more receptive. And another way of thinking about those two concepts is the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. So in our autonomous nervous system, which regulates a lot of the unconscious activities of our body, we have one nervous system which is sympathetic, which is active and going. And that nervous system has a lot to do with survival. So it's about keeping us safe. So the fight flight system is part of that. And so when we're in danger, we, you know, either fight to the death or run extremely fast. But the other system that is part of that is resource seeking. So finding food, building shelter, you know, looking after ourselves. And that nervous system is really crucial for survival. So when we are thinking about just really basic survival, first of all, we have to not become someone's lunch. So we have to make sure we don't get eaten by the tiger, because that's a very quick way to end your life. But it's also very important to get food and shelter and to look after your health and be safe from, you know, attackers. Because if you don't have enough food, you may not die immediately, but you're not going to survive very long. And also if you don't have adequate shelter. So the both sympathetic nervous system is very closely linked to survival. So it's quite a powerful system. And then we have the parasympathetic nervous system. And sometimes the way I sort of taught myself to remember the difference is I think of paragliders. So they don't actually have to flap their wings, they just glide. And so the parasympathetic nervous system is sometimes called the rest and digest system. So it's a system that helps us regenerate ourselves through sleep or deep rest, and also digest the food, and allows us to be nourished by what's actually available. And so we need both systems. And sometimes there's a bit of a sense that meditation is very much in the parasympathetic nervous system, it's just all about peace and calmness and deep rest. But as we know, that's not really the case. You know, even meditation actually involves both systems. And so it's not about, you know, finding one extreme or the other extreme, like in Buddhism, you know, with the middle path. We actually, a good balanced life is finding a good, the ability to move very smoothly between the two systems as needed, as required. So sometimes we need to be very active, and other times it's actually time to rest and digest. And if I think of someone who's really good in my own life at demonstrating this, it's actually our cat Tashi. So she, gets excited when the birds are outside. She doesn't catch any, but she certainly would love to catch some. And she's also very active when it's time for her breakfast or for her dinner. And she lets us know, you know, that this is something she wants. But she's also very good at resting, you know, so she's really, really good at moving. Like now it's, I'm hungry, so I'm going to get dinner. And now I've eaten, so I'm going to have a very, very long sleep. Paul Gilbert has written a bit about those systems. So he teaches compassion meditation, and also he's a therapist as well. And he also calls the parasympathetic nervous system the soothing and affiliation system. And the parasympathetic nervous system is not as crucial for survival, but it's actually really important for things like contentment. So being happy with the way things are, resting and digesting. And again, you know, if we don't rest enough, our cells can't do the thing and regenerate. If we can't digest the food properly, sometimes we have plenty of nutrition coming in, but we can't actually fully digest it because we're not giving it the time, we're not giving the system the opportunity to do so. It's also very important for a sense of connectedness, for love and intimacy, for healing. So healing, again, we need a lot of rest for healing. You can't be really frantic and allow things to heal. And it's also important for spirituality and for resilience in the face of challenges. So even though it's not as survival-based, it's actually really, really important for our sense of well-being and feeling like we're living in balance. But because it doesn't have the same immediacy as something that is more survival-based, it can often be neglected. And when I look at our modern lifestyle, in particular in our current society, it's very much sympathetic nervous system orientated. So it's very much yang out there. Jeff Dawson, our teacher recently in session, talked about inflammation, a sense of inflammation, and that our mental activity can get inflamed. And so in meditation, it's about being aware of when there's excessive mental activity that has that sense of inflammation and becomes overheated, and to sort of calm ourselves, you know, to calm the mental activity down. And of course, inflammation is also the root cause of many of the modern diseases that we're faced with. And there can be a sense that we're actually, in our society, surrounded by overabundance, you know, having far more than is needed, but at the same time feeling quite deprived and depleted. And so the sense that, you know, even though there's a lot of resources around, we can't always absorb them and be nourished by them as we might need. So some of the factors which, you know, as I was thinking about this, might cause this imbalance, which is sort of that too much yang is a modern lifestyle, a sense of being very busy, being very driven. And also the addictive tendency of our mind, again, which sort of craves excitement and yang. And sometimes when it's more quiet, it's almost like, oh, there's not enough going on because we're so used to being overstimulated and being, you know, in that slightly inflamed state of mind. And so some of the things that help us to balance are things like meditation, tai chi, yoga, bushwalking, gardening, being with people that we care for. And so what I was thinking about when I was thinking about this is that sometimes we can actually do those things which are helping us balance, but we can actually still perhaps do them with a mindset that is more focused on the sympathetic nervous system, that sense of wanting to still gain something from those activities. Almost, and it can be quite subtle, but almost having that outcome focus and achieving and acquiring focus, even as we're doing things like meditation, yoga, and things like that. And it's sort of been something I've been thinking about with the modern mindfulness movement and some of the unease I have. So I teach mindfulness, and you know, there's a lot of benefits with that secularization of mindfulness. But I think increasingly, either it's happening more, I'm more conscious of it, there's sort of an undertone sometimes of that very strong sense of, this is all this fantastic neuroscience, it's a mind training, you're going to get this, you're going to get that, your brain is going to change. So it sort of sounds very similar from all the other sort of, you know, Yang style way of thinking that we have, which is very much based on the outcomes, achieving something, very scientifically minded. Whereas Zen is actually more a religion of poetry. So in the Heart Sutra today we read, the Bodhisattva who dwells in this perfect wisdom, attaining nothing, is not entrapped by delusive fantasies. And then Dogen, also one of our other readings, Dogen says, meditation is not a way to enlightenment, nor is it a method of achieving anything at all. It is peace and blessedness itself. It is the actualization of wisdom, the ultimate truth of the oneness of all things. So let's just read that once more. Meditation is not a way to enlightenment, nor is it a method of achieving anything at all. And when we sort of start to engage with the idea of meditation from that point of view, it sort of leaves a room for the sense of receptive spaciousness. And one of my favorite quotes, which I mentioned at the end of the session, is that line by Noel Davis, who's an Aboriginal poet. Let tiny drops of stillness fall gently through my day. And that sense of just that little drops of stillness are actually around us all the time. And we just allow ourselves to be receptive to that and to be nourished by them. And I wonder, I have a feeling that in Indigenous cultures, perhaps there's more of a balance between that sense. You know, obviously there's a lot of getting food and survival happening as well, especially in a tough environment like the Australian outback. But I feel like there's a more easy movement through then also being more receptive and that parasympathetic nervous system and just really being nourished by the environment and the creativity, spirituality, by nature. It's more comfortable moving between the two. Whereas in our culture, we kind of recognize perhaps there's this lack of balance, but it can be quite subtle, but there can be this constant pull towards, I want to achieve something here, I want to gain something here. So what are some of the ways that we can allow ourselves to be more open and receptive, to cultivate those qualities? And as I was reflecting on this, I thought some of the qualities I find most important for myself are trust and gratitude. So gratitude I find very useful to help me realize what's actually already around and what I can be nourished by. So it's that sort of taking time to pause and think, you know, what is actually already here? And when I think about my life, it's actually very rich. There's everything I could possibly need is actually there, but sometimes it's difficult to sort of take them in. But there's no shortage of beautiful environments and bushwalking and creativity and spiritual teachings and companionship with like-minded people. It's nourishing food, you know. So it's all there, but sometimes that sense of being driven can maybe feel like, oh, I haven't got enough. You know, the sense of I haven't got enough. So having gratitude for what is already there. And then the other one, I think, is trust. And the Yang system is very based on survival, the sympathetic nervous system, which has its place. But what tends to happen is that it's kind of still revving in high gear long after the use, you know, its usefulness has passed. And so when I think about my cat, you know, she wants to get her dinner and that's very important to her. But once that's finished, she doesn't spend the rest of the evening in that high, revving high state. She kind of just completely relaxes. So it's having that trust of, yeah, I've had my dinner now. I can actually just relax. I've had my nourishment. I can just relax. And so I've started just saying to myself sometimes in meditation, just reminding myself, right now, in this moment, all is well. Doesn't mean my life is perfect. Of course it's not. And, you know, doesn't mean I'm going to live forever and be safe. But just it's coming back to like right now, in this moment, all is actually well. So I wanted to finish with a quote by Ajahn Sumedho, who's from the Thai forest tradition. And he talks about the sense of being open to the way things are. Of course, we can always imagine more perfect conditions, how it should be ideally, how everyone else should behave. But it's not our task to create an ideal. It's our task to see how it is and to learn the world, learn from the world as it is. For the awakening of the heart, conditions are always good enough.